The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 460. I hope all is well with you out there. Thank you for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast, and I hope you're staying warm and staying out of the snow. Columbus, Ohio was not spared the wrath of winter these past, couple of days, where we have been very snowy and very cold. And if you are in the same situation, be safe out there, all right? Hopefully things are going to get back to normal with your commute and your job and your fun time activities and all that jazz. Well, I just use that adjective fun, and I think that would be a great way to describe this episode. I'm being joined by a fellow Columbus resident and a fellow podcaster. He is known as the Bearded Comic Bro. Now, I met Bro, back in the spring, which, as you're going to hear, shocked me when we talk about that, because I certainly thought it was only a few months ago that we first met. But, you know, that's how Father Time is. But nonetheless, we're going to talk about his podcast, The Bearded Comic Bro, and several other podcasts that he had that are kind of on hiatus. And in fact, he even gives us a little hint that there's a new one coming. But we talk about his podcast, what a typical episode looks like, how he manages to get some guests, and he's gotten some primo comic book creators to come on the show. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, of course, why he's a comic book fan, and even talk a little bit about his return to being a fan of professional wrestling. That's right. He was a fan in the Attitude Era, and then he left for a little while, and he just recently came back, so that's going to be a fun topic for me to dive into. So all that and more. But before we get to my conversation with the Bearded Comic Bro, I need to thank a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. And of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, world's greatest comics. You hear me say all the time that it is a five-star comic book store. They've got everything you need for your fandom, whether it's graphic novels, single issues, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a clean store, a great pool system. What more do you need to know, man? There you go. There's a long list of everything that they have for you. So definitely check out the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can check them out online if you like. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just look for at WGComics. Every Wednesday, Jeff is on there telling you what to come into the store and previewing stuff. So you don't want to miss that Facebook page. So definitely check them out again at WG Comics or WGComics.com or stop by the store again, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And I would like to take this moment to thank everybody down at the store for their support throughout the years. World's greatest. That's an accurate description of that store. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Bearded Comic Bro. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening, albeit a very cold and snowy evening here in Columbus, Ohio, but nonetheless, this evening, I'm sitting down with podcaster extraordinaire, the Bearded Comic Bro. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, John. Thanks for having me on the show, bro. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. You know, we met in the fall through a mutual friend, Jake Callahan.
Yeah, I think
it was
so.
The fall, was it? Or was it?
No, it was spring. It was springtime because it was before CEXC. Yeah, and then we connected again at the launch show at CEXC.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. My God, springtime.
Springtime, dude. Better days. It was nice. It was, I wore shorts. It was feeling good. Now I'm like all cold. Like, whoo.
I'm just marveling at the fact that I feel like an old man because that was springtime.
Right?
Oh, man. Father Time waits on no one.
He no, is, it does not.
he's a dick. That's all I'm going to say. Yes, he is. Anyways, well, let's talk a little bit about podcasting first because you have a great show called, of course, The Bearded Comic Bro. And let's let the listeners find out what they would hear if they turned into a typical episode of your show.
Yeah, so my show's gone through, I won't even say growing pains, but just trying to figure out where I wanted to hone in and dial in. So if you honed in like 4 years ago, dialed in 4 years ago, it would have been all over the map of like, we're doing all these different game shows and things like this. But now like, and some creator interviews and book reviews. And now I'm focused in on solely on talking to comic book creators, sometimes book creators that don't have anything to do with comics because I like to read too. But so most every week now it's just you're going to get hit with a different comic book creator, what they're working on, what they're creating, why they create, and, you know, just selling their stuff to the audience. So it's anywhere from DC writers to Marvel writers to Image Comics to indie writers to sometimes Kickstarters. Like, it's across the board. I just love comics and I love talking to comic book writers.
And you've had a long list of some really impressive guests that have appeared on your show. Talk to me, how does that come about? Like, how is, you approach them obviously somehow, either through the internet or live in person. So how do you get some of the guests that you get?
It all happens on different things, right? So I've been doing now creator interviews for 4 years, ever since I started. And it kind of started in the pandemic, of wanting to kind of recreate what you get at a Comic-Con experience. Of, I missed that so much when the pandemic was happening. I was like, I want to talk to comic book creators. So, I mean, right off the bat, I was talking to anybody who would give me the time of day. And I think that, and I tell all that to kind of preface, like, I have been doing this now for 4 years, so it's taken a while to build up my resume a little bit to be able to maybe feel like I have the cachet to ask some of these bigger names, which still is weird because it really isn't that thing. Like, most of them, I feel like I've just been like, yeah, cool, whatever. But also being confident enough to go like, I'm okay if someone says no, because for every yes I get a lot of no's still, or not yet, or just no responses. And that's no shade at them. Half these creators are doing full-time jobs just like we are as podcasters, and we're just doing this for fun, and they're trying to then break into a living and things too. So like, I have no ill will if someone says no, but I had to be okay with a favorite creator, but like, no, I don't have the time, or just straight up ignoring my email or something. But it's been everything from building relationships with people. So I've gotten to know some publishers of, you know, like IDW and Mad Cave and Ahoy Comics, some of the smaller publishers. I know some of the people that work in those companies. And so like, we've kind of gained a reputation with each other that I can ask them like, hey, so-and-so is writing a book for you. Like, could we maybe set up something? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. Because they know, like, I'm not just fishing for the big names, because I've had some of their smaller books out there too. So like, that builds. And then sometimes it's just luck, like finding an email address and like, you know, like messaging a Jason Aaron and, or a Kelly, you know, Kelly Thompson, and the timing just works out, right? Like Jason, and when I emailed Jason a year ago or something to set up our interview, and he's one of the bigger names in comics right now. And like, he's like, perfect timing. He's like, yeah, I usually don't do interviews, but I'm ready to go. Like, I want to talk about some stuff for DC. Like, let's do it. And I was like, okay, cool. And I had people mess like, how did you do it? I've been trying to get him on a podcast for you. I'm like, it was luck. Like, he has a beard. I have a beard. Maybe that helps. But you know, it's setting yourself up to say like, hey, I've done these interviews. Like, do you want to talk? And if they're like, yeah, cool. And if not, no. So it's a lot of emailing. It's a lot of sending messages and just not bothering them. Like, and I have a spreadsheet of like who I've messaged and then when I do. So I don't like, cause I don't ever want to be like that hounding person. Like, if I don't hear a response, I'll wait 6 months or a year before I reach out again and just say, hey, touch and base. And so it's all about just kind of build, like making it look professional with like, hey, here's who I've interviewed. And then just finding a way to contact them. The email is the best way if I can. But Sometimes it's shooting the sliding in those DMs and you never know what happens.
So for anybody out there that's listening to this episode and says, I want to start a podcast, that's great advice. You are probably going to have rejection. You are going to have rejection. Not probably. You are. I've been rejected doing this show. You know, and as you mentioned, I've been rejected by one of my big heroes. It was like, hey, I'd love to come on your show, but I'm only talking about A, B, and C. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about, you know, what you're known for, you know? So you're going to get rejected, but just don't let that deter you.
Well, because it's also, it goes both ways, right? Like, as you are now podcast, you know, you have your podcast, we get hit up a lot too for interview requests and things like that. And sometimes you have to look at it like, is my audience going to accept this person? Are they going to listen? Is it going to be worth their time and my time? And so like, you know, you have to start to learn to be okay to say no too, which is really tough.
Oh, yes. Yes. I learned that lesson in 2024, how to say, you have to say no sometimes. And, you know, I won't get into it, but, you know, avid listeners of the show know exactly what I'm referring to. I don't like to say no, but I really had to. Otherwise, I was going to be up to my neck in promises and episodes that didn't get aired. So, yeah, you definitely do. So why did you start podcasting?
A little bit, like I said, the pandemic, but the real, honestly, the funniest thing, I wasn't getting into this to do podcasting and YouTube or anything. It was 2019. I was going to Comic Cons. I had gotten back into comics and I was out to dinner with my wife. And she looked at me one time and she goes, hey, I made a Finsta. And I was like, what is a Finsta? And she's like, I made a fake Instagram. And it was her, like, she's like, I want to just find an outlet to be like posting like cool pictures of like murals on the streets or like her cup of coffee, like, you know, just kind of like the, you know, your token, like cool, like millennial Instagram post. I was like, well, that's fun. I want an Finsta account. And she's like, I was like, what would I do? She's like, well, post about your comics. Like, you like comics, we go to Comic Con, post about your comics. So I was like, okay. So I went on Instagram and Twitter and I locked down, I came across the name like Bearded Comic Nerd. That's what I was going to call myself, the Bearded Comic Nerd. And one of the two, Twitter or Instagram, it was one letter too long. So I had to get rid of nerd and replace it with a three letter. I'm like, well, I'm a bro. So so I was just doing Instagram, social media. I kind of was like, I'm starting on Instagram. As I told my wife, I'm like, my goal is in 3 months, I have 1,000 subscribers, you know, followers. And she's like, okay, good luck. And I hit it. And I was really like, okay, maybe I can do this. And so I started dipping my toe in the beginning of 2020 into doing YouTube videos. And I did one a month for the first 3 months. And in March, beginning of March, I did my third one. I looked at my wife. I said, this is too much. I can't do one a video a month. Like, this is insane. So I'm like, I'm going to stop doing YouTube. I'm not even going to start a podcast like I had thought about. Pandemic happened. I had all this free time. Man, I then was like, I was cranking out 3 episodes a week of doing everything and anything because I couldn't. But it really, for me, was an outlet for me to talk about comic books. You know, I didn't know like this comic book community existed in the world of social media and things. Just cause I had my Facebook group and my Instagram groups of my personal stuff. And I was like, none of my friends read comic books. They, you know, maybe saw the movies, things, but so I didn't know this world kind of existed until I dipped my toe into it. And then once the pandemic happened, I really missed going to comic cons. And so I watched there was a group that did this like virtual Comic Con, and I watched these comic book YouTubers interviewing comic book creators. And I was like, I could do that. And that really then inspired me to like, let's go with this. And, you know, for me, that's what inspired me to kind of like my wife encouraging me to like, well, why don't you go explore your hobby of comics? And then I was like, well, maybe I can figure out how to, you know, just translate this into having conversations with people about it. So.
One thing that you just mentioned, your wife. She has been appearing in some of your YouTube videos. She's part of the show at times. How important is that for you to have that support from your wife?
Oh, man, it's been awesome. So like, would you talk about, so during the pandemic, we had a show called Name That Character. We did it for over 100 episodes where we would go back and forth quizzing each other of naming this character. Like I started with, it was a kind of one of those like YouTube trends that were like, hey, like quiz your significant other, see if they know superhero stuff. And like people really responded to it. And then they're like, well, you should have her quiz you. That's not fair. And so we kind of, and then we got into a rotating back and forth every week doing this. And then we started doing stuff like a cooking show that we found of like recipes that we found in comic books. And we started doing a cooking show aspect of that. She started doing TikToks with me. It's fun because it, like, she doesn't read comic books. And so like when we get her to do reviews, people really like that aspect of like, what does Mrs. Bearded think of a comic book and stuff? And it's been kind of cool to see of like, we just have like, we like doing things together. Like we like spending time together. Like if I can take her to a Comic Con with me, like I want her to come with me. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, deuces, I get to go. Like we like each other. So like, we want to spend time. So like, it's been really cool that like she pours into, you know, she hasn't listened to a single interview I've ever done. She's listened in the background as I'm editing sometimes, like, cause I was editing last night. She was doing a little reading. I was doing a little editing, and like, she'd look over every once in a while, like when she'd hear some comment, I'm like, that's interesting. But like, it's been cool that she supports the hobby. Like she knows, you know, when she sees something on the calendar, she's like, okay, you got an interview. I'll make sure the kids are upstairs or something. And to me, like, I don't know if I could do it if I didn't have the support of her investing in, like, she doesn't like comic books and that's fine, but she sees how happy it makes me. And so she was like, go for it, do it. And she's been kind of always been that rock. And she kind of came up with an idea, like she's going to do another show with me here in the future that we're working on together to start to do. And she started it. She initiated it, like, what if we did this? I was like, okay, let's do it. So it's been fun because I don't think I probably would be doing as much as I did or as long as I did if she wasn't as supportive of the hobby.
Do you have a favorite episode that you've done?
Oh, I'd have to, there's a couple name that characters where she just, so the idea of name the character of basically like she has to, I show her a picture of a comic book character and she has to figure out who it is. And there was one, it was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one. And she couldn't name, she called like Shredder, like Mr. Blade, or Blade Chopper. No, it was Blade Chopper. And then she called Splinter, she called Mr. Rat, like just like these over the top names. And like Mr. Freeze from Batman, she called like Blizzard. And like those moments like crack me up because I'm just like, I get her where her mind's at, and like it seems so like obvious to me who's been so inundated into the culture of comics where I'm like, so it's really fun. But like, there's a couple episodes of our cooking show that we've done, and we've only done like 8, but there's the way she acts and just is goofy in the kitchen like that, like they crack me up. So I think you literally pop any name that character where she's guessing on my YouTube channel or any episode of the cooking channel, you're going to be like, we want more Mrs. Bearded and comic book stuff, not as much my stuff. People really like, we watch the show for you, for your wife, not you.
What's the name of the cooking show?
It is called The Bearded Cooking Bro. Okay. It is on, so it's on my YouTube. It's in a playlist. Again, that was just something we were doing in the pandemic of like random things where I was like, let's try this. And we had saw, I was reading an issue of a comic and it had Green Arrow's spicy chili recipe in the back of it. And I was like, why has nobody done a cooking show with comic book recipes? And I said that online while I was on someone else's show. And I looked up and then someone's like, oh, that's a great idea. And I'm texting my wife as I'm on the show. I'm like, we got to do this now. Someone's going to steal my idea. So she's like, well, great. Another show. Here we go.
So let's just kind of really quickly run down, not that we're done, our conversation, but where can folks find The Bearded Comic Bro, your current show? And it's
my current show, YouTube. Go to YouTube. You can see everything you want. Bearded Comic Bro on YouTube. There's playlists, so you can find whatever you want. If you want the interviews, they're all done on YouTube, but they're also then put on Spotify, Apple Music, stuff like that. So I'll pull the audio and I will edit that to make it as best I can for, you know, podcasting as well. But social media, any social media, it's Bearded Comic Bro all around. But if you want a kind of a wide breadth of any of the content we've done, go to just YouTube Bearded Comic Bro and you can look at all the plethora of videos you want.
There you go. Hey, speaking of some of those interviews, I'm really curious about one that you did when you were down at GalaxyCon.
Nice.
GalaxyCon, of course, was the beginning of December, the first weekend of December, and there was a lot going on with the show, including AEW wrestling being there at the show. So you got an opportunity to talk to Swerve Strickland. How was that? And then I'm going to follow up with, what do you think about the current direction they have Swerve going in the storyline, if you will, with Ricochet?
Funny thing. So I was doing press for GalaxyCon, and with GalaxyCon, they really are awesome with press badges and stuff like that. And this was my first year. I've applied before and I hadn't gotten in. But again, I applied to some of the smaller cons and I got to connect with the guy who does it. So, but one of the things that they do is they brought a couple celebrities on Friday to one of the back rooms, the kind of conference room areas where they do the different panels and stuff at GalaxyCon. And that, so it was like Martin Cove was there, Swerve Strickland was there, Corson Benson from Major League was there. Just a whole slew of different people were there. And I was getting ready to talk to Martin Cove, and I was setting stuff up, and Swerve's handler came over and was like, "Hey, you want to talk with Swerve Strickland?" I was like, "Heck yeah, I do." And I was like, "This is really cool." Fun fact about that, you will never see the Martin Cove interview or the Swerve Strickland interview because my microphones were not working for either of those.
That's the worst.
It's the worst. And as soon as I'm done, I'm like, "Oh, son of a gun." So like, I got some really cool footage of it and pictures I got to, and have some fun conversations. But it was neat. Cause I kind of took 4 minutes with Swerve, and I really didn't talk about wrestling as much as I focused in on the comic book aspect, because AEW had just released a comic book through DC. They were putting in the backstories. Steve Orlando was a writer for these like 2-page stories of the AEW wrestlers that they're putting in the back of all the DC comics that were coming out in October, November, December. And then they collected it into an issue of AEW. So it was like Swerve Strickland, Darby Allin, Dr. Britt Baker, Orange Cassidy, Tony Storm, Will Ospreay. I think those were the first six that they started with. And so I was talking with Swerve about just like, what was it like to get to like, are you a comic book fan? Did you like have comics? And he goes into this whole spiel about like how his love for comic books is like how he picks out his entrances for main events. He's like, and when I'm talking to him, he's literally wearing like, looks like something out of like Kraven the Hunter, like this big old fur coat. Like, I'm just like, man, he's going to go hunt Spider-Man down at GalaxyCon here. But so it was cool to kind of, because I'm sure he got talking about, you know, everything about wrestling all the time. So we really just honed in on his love for pop culture and how that influences his entrances into, you know, AEW and stuff like that. So that's the first part. Your second part, you asked about how do I feel about where they're taking him. So to be honest with you, I've been a big WWE person for a long time, but I just started dipping my toe into AEW once I knew they were going to be at GalaxyCon, and I am hooked. So I don't have a lot of backstory on Swerve up until then, but Ricochet was one of my favorites in WWE. I just always felt like he never got they didn't know what to do with him, you know, being a high flyer and all these things. And so like when he got to AEW, and now to kind of see him, like, cause I've been following Swerve a little bit here now, man, to see like that, they even have a match yet in when I first was watching it, but like the stuff that they had on Max, I think it was what, Saturday night, mm-hmm. with like what Ricochet did interrupting Swerve. I'm like, man, they're going at it, and I'm here for it. Like, give me like all the drama.
Well, I'm a fan of that storyline. How was Martin Cove to talk to?
Dude was wild. Because, like, who he is like John Kreese in Karate Kid, I feel like is who he is in real life. Like, he's not acting that much, I don't think, differently. Like, it's his personality is the exact same. And, like, I was trying – because, again, I'm trying to, like, ask questions that, like, I was like, man, like, what's the craziest thing that like a fan had you sign, and, you know, like at a Comic-Con? And he looks at me, kind of pulls down his glasses, and gives me a sigh. He goes, how R-rated is this show? I was like, whoa. And then he just goes on and talks about how he signed the top part of a woman's body. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, let's go back to wrestling fandom real quick. You said you were a big WWE fan. Who were some of your favorites?
So Ultimate Warrior was one of my favorites. So I grew up in the Attitude Era, basically, for me. But I also grew up in an era where I didn't have cable television. So all my wrestling was when I got to go to my buddy's house and we'd be playing the 64 and playing, you know, NWO versus WCW and stuff on the 64 and stuff like that. So I loved a lot of those wrestlers, like Sting, even Goldberg and The Rock, like all those guys. I'm like, yes, I was here for it. And then like I got away from wrestling for quite a while. But it was actually when Ronda Rousey went to WWE, because my wife and I were watching her a lot in the UFC. So that got me back into it. And the fact that then like Peacock had the deal where I could watch all the pay-per-views, and like, that's where then I was like, I'm back in, because like, that was the hardest thing for me, is like watching weekly. And then I'm not paying for the pay-per-views. So now that I could get it with my streaming, I went all in. And then I went through the back catalog of all the documentaries. So Ric Flair and everybody, and, you know, the Four Horsemen and all the different tag teams. Like, it was insane. Like, I literally for like 2 years just consumed everything I missed from wrestling in those 2 years to catch up. But Ultimate Warrior was always my favorite. I love the look. It felt very comic. And, you know, I mentioned Sting too. I think all the ones that were like superhero vibey to me, like, because that's what I gravitated towards as a kid, because let's be honest, that's why wrestling is so good, because it is literally just real life comic books.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree.
So yeah, those were my favorites, and so everything that I can consume of those and who they were and watching their matches, but then also stuff like watching Undertaker or, you know, the Heartbreak Kid, and to see some of their, you know, WrestleMania matches and things like that, like over the top, fantastic. And I've been a hooked ever since, and was watching AEW all last night. As soon as we're done here, I'll be watching, you know, WWE on Netflix. So,
see, I'm on the fence. That's got me, because I don't have Netflix.
Okay.
Because, oh man, about a year and a half ago, maybe, I was like, I'm spending all this money on apps. I need to start streamlining stuff, because I might as well just get cable. I was one of those guys. And so I really sat down and was like, man, do I really need Netflix? Because like I would watch it sporadically, and I cut that. I ended up cutting Disney Plus, because I'm like, and now I'm thinking about getting Disney Plus back now, because for a while, some of their stuff was not really good and I was disappointed with it. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can let them go. So I'm like on this fence if I want to watch Raw on Netflix, or if I just want to stick with SmackDown because I have the USA app, you know, that I can watch there. So I'm really on the fence. I don't know. I'm sitting out tonight, and then I'll probably hate myself tomorrow when I hear that everything that was surprising, everyone came back, you know? Yep. They even resurrected dead people. They came back, and I'll be like, damn it, I should have watched.
You had the hologram of the Ultimate Warrior versus the hologram of Macho Man, and it was fantastic. And Tupac hologram did the intro.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm going to miss tonight.
You heard it here first, gang. That's right. No, I get that. Like, trying to figure out, like, cutting down and scaling down. Like, we just went to basically cutting all our apps down to at least no longer the premium. We're like, fine, we'll watch commercials.
Yeah, same with me. I do the same thing. In fact, I was watching a movie last night on one of my favorite apps, Tubi, and I'm like, I don't care that there's commercials. I don't care. And I sometimes think, this is, by the way, totally off track, but I think sometimes it depends on what you're watching on Tubi is how many commercials you get. Because I think if you are like, it's happened to me where like I've been watching some really obscure like Western or like a blaxploitation film from 77 or something like that, and like I'd get the commercials, and then those commercials, they would happen like, oh, every 20 minutes, and then like at the half hour mark, or you know what I mean, at the 40 minute mark, after that's the last break, and then I don't get a break till almost the movie's over, and I'm like, I'm wondering if they're like, hey, one guy in Ohio is watching this, Ted. Should we put more commercials on? Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, you know? Man, my kids were so spoiled though, because we had all the premium with no ads stuff that once they had to start watching commercials, they're like, what is this, Dad? Why is this popping up during the Loud House? I'm like, because we're cheap now and you had commercials. It's good for you.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, you name it, they got it. So stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. If you're out of the area, you could check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're very active on the Facebook page, so just search for at WG Comics.
Well, let's talk about comics. All right. Let's do it. Who are some of your favorite comic book characters, or let's go with characters and then creative teams or creators.
So I'm a Batman guy through and through. Anything and everything Batman. Also Dick Tracy, which is, it's a comic strip, but now also comic book, so that counts. Those are my two fandoms that I had as a kid that have stayed with me ever since. And I have shrines in my basement to both of those fandoms. But I mean, Batman is, if I had to pick and choose, like, Batman is who it is for me. So when everyone's like, there's too many Batman comic books out there, I'm like, sucks to suck, gang, because I don't care. I love Batman. Give me all the Batman books I want. So yeah, Batman for sure is my favorite. Oh man, creative teams. That's
can I interject for a minute?
Go for it.
What's the best Batman storyline?
Ooh, best Batman storyline. So that's tough. So some of my favorites. My favorite, Nightfall was what got me into Batman, which, if you're not a comic book fan, Nightfall is when Bane breaks Batman's back. Mm-hmm. But the whole setup before that of him blowing up, like, Bane didn't get betrayed as he was in the comics until the Dark Knight, trilogy, towards the end there, where he's actually very smart. And that's, like, you got to see in Nightfall is he's breaking all these characters out of Arkham Asylum and is just making Batman run ragged. And so that way when Bane comes up, who's already a dominant force, is just like, I can easily crush you without even having to do anything because you're so worn out because you fought the Joker, the Riddler, Two-Face, Killer Croc, Victor Zsasz, all these characters. So, like, I remember my mindset, like, that was a big event book for me, like, in my mind as a kid, like, that Batman fought all these characters, and then this character I didn't really know in Bane, and then to see, like, Batman broken and beaten and how he was going to come back. And I mean, he wasn't Batman for a while in those series, and to kind of, like, that, I remember, like, very traumatic as a kid. And then, like, the new Batman had to have, like, this high tech stuff because he wasn't as good as the old Batman, and so, like, he had to have, like, this metal armor. Like, that was just very impactful for me as a kid. I mean, Batman Hush is one that I think is a great storyline. Probably one of the best Batman story is Batman Year One. Just the beautiful origin storytelling right there. And it's done in those four issues. And the art is stunning in that. Batman Year One and Long Halloween are probably my two favorite.
My favorite is the Long Halloween. I really like that. I need to reread it because it's been a few years. But I've read it several times and just love it. But yeah, that's my favorite.
That was one that I slept on for a long time because as a kid, I couldn't get into Tim Sale's art. And and now once I went back into it, because everyone's like, oh, you're a Batman fan? You hadn't read Long Halloween? I read it, you know, as a teenager, adult. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Now I can't picture anyone other than Tim Sale's art on it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, that was just one of those that was like, my kid brain couldn't comprehend what I was seeing and how good of what I was actually seeing was.
So how about some of those creators? Are you a guy that follows creators? Cause I am one that follows creators more so than maybe characters.
Yes and no. So I follow writers more than I do creative teams or artists. Cause I think there's a lot, and that's no knock on artists. Cause there's a lot of talented artists and if the art's bad, I can't get past it in a book. Like that's why I was hung up on I don't even want to say like, that's why I was hung up on Batman Long Halloween, because the art wasn't bad, but I didn't get it. It wasn't for me, you know, as a kid. So I'm writers mostly. Mark Russell is one of those writers that I will pick up anything he writes. the way he parodies life and puts it into superhero comics is, I just think it's brilliant. And I think he's very funny as a writer as well. And I think that's one of the hardest forms of writing, is to translate comedy into a book. I think comedy is, you can do comedy, you know, online, on stage, but like to write comedy and make me actually laugh at things, like, that's impressive to me. So like, I always, Mark Russell's writing, hands down, I follow him. Anything he puts out, I'm like, yep, I'm picking it up. Doesn't mean it always works for me, but like anybody, it's one of those that I'm like, when I see his name on a book, I get excited that he's writing. Tom King, I know that's a divisive one for some people, because you either love him or hate him, and I love him.
I hate his Vision storyline. His Vision comics was fantastic, and then I hear that he did Mr. Miracle for a while, yes, right?
So he did,
that was really good, and I have yet to check that out.
So Vision was fantastic. Mr. Miracle was great. Superwoman, I think it's Woman of Tomorrow, Girl of Tomorrow. Anyways, that one is fantastic as well, which is actually what James Gunn's using to as kind of his frameworks for his movie was Superwoman moving forward. Like, that one's really good. Strange Adventure, I thought was fantastic. You know, there, he did Rorschach that people didn't like. And I know people are hung up on his Batman, but the Batman worked for me. So I also came in, I picked up Batman 52, and that's the first Batman book I picked up once I got back into comics and started collecting again back in like 2018. So I just missed the wedding hype. And so like everything that everyone's upset about the wedding, the Batman, Catwoman, all the lead up to the wedding in issue 50, I missed it. I had no knowledge of it until I went back and read it. So I wasn't burned out about that.
I agree with you. Like I said, I haven't checked out, all I've checked out with him is the Vision. And yes, I did check out Rorschach. Not a fan, but the Watchmen and I have a very odd relationship. We'll just say, I'll leave.
Okay.
I love the book. I love the original. I hate all of the subsequent, like subsequent issues, like the whole before Watchmen. Doomsday Clock was, it was not bad, but it was, Personally, I think Doomsday Clock would have been better if it was a couple issues shorter. It just seemed like it drug in the middle, and I'm like, I love the book so much because it changed my life that I have those rose-colored glasses on. That was the comic for me that when I was in high school, I was like, holy shit, this is a comic now. What? Mm-hmm. Like, I was completely oblivious to Alan Moore. I had no idea. And I just remember reading it in high school in study hall. And I was like, I borrowed it from a buddy of mine. I was blown away by it. So I freely admit, I do have rose colored glasses when it comes to the Watchmen.
How do you feel about the movie?
I thought the movie was good. And okay. Why? Because it allows fans that are, or people that are unfamiliar with the tale, they could grasp the tale. And I felt like it still gave most of the story that the hardcore fans would like.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I will also say I thought the TV series on HBO Max was fantastic.
I haven't watched it. I just because I got it. This hang up that I'm like, I don't want to see it. But I've heard so many good things, especially Jeremy Irons and his portrayal and his storyline. I'm like, I think I would like that, but I'm kind of also still like, I don't know.
You know what though? Here's what I'd say. Watch it, because what's it going to do? It's not going to hurt your opinion on Watchmen. Rorschach didn't ruin your opinion on it, did it?
True. No, you are correct. You are correct.
What's the worst thing it's going to do is you're going to go, meh, or you're going to go, oh my goodness, this works. Like, holy cow. That's all, like, it's the same thing, right? Like, that's why I tell people all the time, like, listen, they can make as many Indiana Jones movies as they want. It doesn't affect what I felt when I saw the first three. Or two, we'll take out the second one.
Really, Temple of Doom? You're not a fan of Temple of Doom? I feel the same way. Like, it's fine, to me, it just made me seem like they went way above and beyond what they had to do, like ripping the heart out, the eyeball soup. I'm like, that was not necessary.
And to me, I always have to remind myself that it's the second one because I got to see it as the third one. My mom showed me Raiders and then showed me Last Crusade. And then when I was older, let me, because she thought Temple of Doom was worse than those two. And so she wouldn't let me watch it because of the eyes and the ripping the heart out. And spoiler alert, if you guys haven't seen these movies, but someone gets their heart ripped out. So,
yeah. And if you haven't seen these movies, what the hell are you doing listening to the show? Like, seriously.
You never know. 40 years spoiler warning on.
Anyways. Okay. Got a quick question for you in regards to comics. Who do you think is the most overlooked and undervalued character out there? And I'm saying that in the bigger companies, DC, okay. Marvel, IDW, okay. Image, not indie books. We're just keeping it to the big league, so to speak.
Most undervalued or underutilized. I'm going to go with Booster Gold.
Okay.
I feel like they could do so much with more with his comics. Like he doesn't have very much comics these days. And so that's why I was trying to look like across the board, right? Like comic, film, TV, like he hasn't popped up in TV or film. Now TV, I guess, when I say TV, I'm talking live action. He's had popped up in like Brave and the Bold and like some of the animation Justice League, and it's been great. But like what he is as a character and what he can bring to the storyline, that comic run of Booster Gold in the New 52 is some of the best writing with all the screwed up stuff DC does with their, you know, continuity of like where it was like Booster Gold's trying to go back and change certain events. And they're like, no, there's certain pinpoints, like this always has happened no matter what you do, of like the, what they could utilize that role in a character. And I feel like they could do that with a movie of like, no, there are moments in it have to happen in DC lore all the time. James Gunn could bring in Booster Gold and he could fix some of the DCU stuff that happened before and make that continuity better. You know, if he wants movie wise or even before the Zack Snyder stuff, like I think there's stuff that they could utilize and do with him. And he doesn't get his shine. And when he does, he's always with Blue Beetle. And I love Blue Beetle, but like he doesn't get to just stand out as Booster Gold very often. I think he's underutilized.
Okay, that's a solid pick. That's why I popped for that. That's a solid one. I like that. Yeah, okay. All right, I'll share mine. Tommy Monahan from The Hitman.
Okay.
I really think Hitman is a really good book that I don't think a lot of people know about, and they should.
That's Garth Ennis, right?
That's Garth Ennis. That's right. And it's violent, it's brutal, it's comedic, it's got everything in it. And I think people should know more about Hitman than unfortunately.
I think I'm a DC fanboy and I know very little about Hitman. I know like because I think DC doesn't do I think they're out of print or they're not.
They are.
I don't think they're not putting out new stuff or in form. So like that's a character I want to, and like I'm gonna probably have to be reading that on my DC app here afterwards. So.
They actually, you're right about that. They quit reprinting them. It took them, my God, I want to say 3 or 4 or 5 years to put out the final story arc.
Yeah,
in a trade paperback. So for years, I had one, two, three. Yeah, because there's 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then for years there wasn't a 5, and then they put out a 5th one, which I think not only has the last story arc, but also has the stuff from the demon when he gets started on the demon in there. And there's another weird, like random single issue of something to do with Hitman in there. So it's like not just the final story arc, it's everything. And I agree. I think that's always been a character that I've wanted to see more of. Of course, the other one was Spider-Ham, and I think they've fixed that. So
Spider-Ham. I mean, if you wanted my Marvel, it was going to be Super Pro. So,
hey, I saw a post, by the way, somewhere on your social media that you were organizing your comics.
Yeah,
how'd that project end up? Is it done?
Is it ever done?
Good point.
Is it ever done? So, I am. So, like behind me are my trades, and every week I have to move. So everything has to be alphabetical order for me. I'm OCD like that in my trade. So if I get something here, I got to put a book and then pull books from each section of the shelf, move them down. No, I got down to organizing my long boxes, and they're pretty set. There's some piles that I still got to get to. But again, because I'm very meticulous on, like, I need it to be in an order because I want to see where it is. I want to find it, like, that. Then, like, you have to, like, shift comics very often, you know, in your long boxes if you want to keep them in some continuity and in order. So, my big overhaul on doing it is done, but, like, man, it's always there. It's never done.
It's like mowing the yard. You got to do it every week in the summer.
Right? You have to. And no matter how well you mow it the first time, you got to go back and do it again. And no matter how well you organize your comic book system, something, you're going to get more books, you're going to get a collection in, and you're going to go, well, now I've got to reorganize everything. And it was, this last one was a big haul. Like, I mean, I cleared off the pool table and we went to town on making it pretty extensively overhaul on it, but it's pretty much in order and it's good. So I gave space in all the boxes to add more always, but once those spaces are gone, then I gotta reshift them again.
Next question, also from your social media account.
Yeah.
You claim that you have an obsession with collecting oddball strange toys. So what oddball toys do you have?
So I do. I keep looking off as we're talking. So on my wall here, I collect action figures from like 1990s movies. The craziest phenomenon to me is like that there are action figures for movies like Congo and Waterworld, right? I will run down my, I have a action figure of Matt LeBlanc from Lost in Space. Like when he was trying to be a action hero movie star, there's Independence Day action figures, Wild Wild West action figures, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, like action figures. So I got Morgan Freeman and Super Mario Brothers. So I love to get action figures from like, bad, I don't want to say bad because some of them are good, but like obscure movies like Dragonheart, where Sean Connery was a voice of the dragon, and who was the main, I can't even think who the main guy was in it, but man, it was so good. And like Stargate, there's so many good action figure movies like that. Like, why do are there action figures? But I have them, and that's what I collect.
But here's my question: why in the 80s did we have cartoons for kids that were based off of rated R movies like Rambo, RoboCop? There was the Police Academy comic book. There was a RoboCop.
I picked up a Police Academy action figure from the cartoon show at GalaxyCon. Well, I mean, that's the obvious, I guess my obvious answer would be is because they know adults like them and that would watch them and make money. And in the 80s, they would put cartoons out for anything. So they're like, well, we can make a toned down version of RoboCop and the kids won't know the difference. And parents are like, RoboCop, let's do it. Like, I'll watch it. And then like, that's not my RoboCop. And you're like, yeah, but you don't want your kid watching your RoboCop. But like, so it's a weird thing and shouldn't work. And I don't think it really ever did work.
Well, I could tell you, I believe if memory serves me correct, I have to look at my long box, but I'm pretty sure I have every single issue of the Marvel RoboCop. Why? I don't know.
As you should. Why not? There's also there's a RoboCop Terminator comic book that you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was a four. There's
also weirdly enough, just a couple days ago, there was some RoboCop movie that they ripped off in Vietnam or somewhere where they made a ripoff of it, and it looks cheesy as all get out.
Is it on Tubi?
I don't know because it's floating around on Twitter and. Instagram and that, and I'm like, and they only show like a 2-minute clip, but I'm like, yeah. I want more of this. I want this RoboCop that looks like it's a steel garbage can and like a silver football helmet and like, you know, like dryer, you know how you have the dryer hose that connects to your wall vent, you know, yeah, as the sleeves. I'm like, I want more of this. This is what I want.
I want that. I want that as an action figure. I want that on card on my wall. Like, how good would that be? Like, I'll put it right next to the 8 different Arnold Schwarzenegger Last Action Hero action figures I have.
So, oh my.
Oh yeah. I have a bunch of like Batman the Animated Series and stuff, but like the obscure movies, because like my favorite thing is when someone comes down, like friends come over, come down to the basement and to watch a, you know, a sporting event or something, and they see everything. Their eyes don't go to the comic books. They don't even go to like the memorabilia of all the different comic stuff. They look at the action figures on the wall and they go like, oh my gosh, I remember that movie. And I'm like, yeah, you do. Or like, you have every single Sequest action figure. That show was so bad, but I loved it. I'm like, yeah, I did. And it's so good.
All right. With that, I got one final question for you, bro. But let's talk real quickly about upcoming appearances, social media links, website, or whatever else that you want to plug real quick before we get to that final question.
No, if you enjoy this, follow along with me anywhere, Bearded Comic Bro. If you want to interact, hit me up on the socials, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, Threads, all those. I'm pretty good at responding if it's in a message, but yeah, if you want to see like the silly stuff, like John's talking about, like my action figure collection, and I try to post some of those and things like that of like what I'm picking up and stuff like that to kind of bridge. But yeah, Bearded Comic Bro, anywhere you find YouTube, got some fun interviews coming up. Tag along if you like comics.
All right, final question. Who would be the dream guest for your show?
I'm not going to say Tom King just because we've already talked about Tom King. Rick Remender, he would be the dream guest. So you talked about who's someone I follow, like a writer. That's one that, like, Rick Remender, anything he puts out, I will read by Rick Remender. Deadly Class, Fear Agent, Black Science. He just put out this series called Grommets, which is great, with Brian Posehn, about these 80 kids in the 80s, skateboard kids, just like slice of life in San Francisco. Like, so good. So like, he'd be one that I want to have on, but I haven't even looked into trying to find a way to approach him yet, because I want to read more series before I do. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, I'm like, I want to read as much of his stuff as I can before we have a conversation. Even if it doesn't happen, I'll be fine because I'm reading a lot of great stuff. But Rick Remender would be my probably dream guest. He'd be one that I'm like, yep, that'd be really cool to have.
Cool. All right. Well, man, thanks for coming on and chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. This is fun.
Most definitely, man. All right, with that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with the Bearded Comic Bro, talking about his various podcasts, as well as his fandoms of both pro wrestling, toys, and comics. I had a great time chatting with him, and I hope that you enjoyed listening to our conversation. And if you want to comment about what you've heard, there's a couple different ways you can reach me to express yourself. First, if you want to shoot me an email and be old school, you can do that. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on those social media outlets like Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. Just search for @PVDcast. And I'm even still on Twitter, but my Twitter handle over there is @PVDMVP. I'm not on Blue Sky yet. I don't know if I want to add another social media thing to do. I'm not sure. So for right now, I'm not on Blue Sky. But nonetheless, with that little bit of information out of the way, let's chat about where you can find the PVD cast, just in case you want to tell somebody about it. Well, first of all, it's available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, open up the search bar, put PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And look, you need to do me a favor. If you listen through your favorite podcasting app, you got to rate, you got to review, because that helps me out in the algorithm. I'm not asking you to write a book or anything. Just say, hey, great episode, and give me 5 stars or 4 stars or however many you think I deserve. It's incredibly important for all podcasters, no matter if they're the biggest podcast in the world or the smallest independent podcast like this one in the world. So with that, again, make sure you rate and review. And of course, if you haven't already done it, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But wait, there's one other way you can hear the episodes, and that's through the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do like a little live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go. You got three easy ways to listen to the PVD cast. That's either through pvdcast.com, your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, through the Facebook page at PVD cast on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, copyright 2025.